Okay, so this week's parsha is Vayera. A lot going on. This is a right smack in the middle of the story of Avraham Avinu, which began in last week's parsha and concludes in next week's parsha of Chayei Sarah. But here we encounter Avraham just after his Bris Milah, and then after the interaction, the story with the angel to come to visit him. So there's this conversation that Hashem has with Avraham, and this is just prior to the destruction of Sodom and the surrounding cities. And the Torah tells us the following. This is in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Zion, right towards the beginning of Sheni. Vashem Amar. And God says, again, the angels have now left. They're now heading towards Sodom. Avram had walked them out, and Hashem says, "Hamachasa ani mi'Avram ashira ani oseh." Should I withhold, conceal from Avram that which I'm about to do? And so I'd like to talk about this. Then why does God feel the need to tell Avram what is about to happen to the cities of Sodom and Amorah and the other three cities in that vicinity? Like, why is that so important? You know, God doesn't tell us, as far as I know, God doesn't usually communicate with us what He's about to do. He just does it. Why is it necessary for Hashem to tell Avram what is about to occur? And it's interesting. In 2 weeks ago in Parshas Noach, so there as well, Hashem informs Noach what is about to happen. God tells Noah also what he's about to do, and he gives a reason, because the earth is full of Hamas. I'm going to destroy the land, and now, you know, build this ark, build this teva. So he tells Noah what's going to happen, and then he gives Noah instructions. So here as well, in a similar fashion, God is going to tell Avram what's going to happen. Doesn't give Avram any instructions, but here, as opposed to just in Parshas Noach, just Hashem just outright just, you know, telling Noach what's about to occur. Here it's like the narrative. We have the narrator speaking. You know, these are God's words. Hashem Amar, and God said, because God's not saying this to Avram. He's saying it to, he's talking to himself. Hashem Amar Hamachasa Nima Avram Asher Ani Oseh. Should I withhold from Avram what I'm about to do? Like, how could it be? How could it be that I would withhold from Avram, you know, what's about to occur? And you know, why is this necessary? Why does Hashem feel the need? Why is Hashem even talking to himself that this is something important? Why is he just straight out, you know, tell Avram what he's about to what's about to happen? So the way Rashi interprets this, Hamachasa, right, like this is like a question. God is like wondering, you know, how can I withhold this information from Avram? Hashir ani oseh lo yafali laslos dover zeh shlomi daito. So God says, this is not good on me, right? Oh, I can't believe I'm not going to tell Avram what's about to happen. You know, how can I have made such a terrible mistake? It's not nice. Why is it not nice? He's God. God can do whatever he wants. Why is God? And God has to tell Avram, you know, God has to tell Avram, you know, every 2 seconds what he's doing next. Like this, he has to tell Avram. Why is this so important? Says Rashi, Ani yisati lo ha'aretz hazos. I just promised him this entire land, right? North, south, east, and west. The entire land I've given to Avram, which includes the area of Sodom. And these five cities, they're his, right? I promised a great real estate, right? Beautiful tall buildings, wonderful trees, vegetation. I told him it's his, and now what am I about to do? I'm about to level it, totally destroy it. Fire is going to ravage, destroy, obliterate the entire area. Right, it's gonna turn everyone who's been to the Dead Sea, you know, it's like a dead area. There's like nothing going on there. It's all desert, dry. So that's not fair. Right? I promised him Paris. I promised him you know, the most lush, beautiful area. you know, beautiful gardens. And also I'm going to now give him a, he's going to show up and say, well, what, you know, this is not what you sold me on paper, right? Sometimes, you know, you're, you know, the agent tells you about this and shows you the pictures, you know, you're planning a vacation. So they send you all these pictures of what the hotel, what the grounds are supposed to look like. Also, if you show up, it's not what they advertised. So it sounds like from Rashi, you know, that's the issue here. Shenemar gvur k'ani mitzidon b'chot stoma v'amora, right? The borders were already discussed of the land of Canaan. And then it says, Karasi also Avraham. God says, I have called him Avraham. Av hamon goyim. He's the father of many nations. And seems like now a second reason, Vashmina sabanim v'lo adil av. Should I destroy the children and not tell the father? Right, he's going to be the father of not only, you know, the Jewish people, but of nations. Right? Of Av hamon goyim, we heard on last week's parsha. So I'm not going to tell him what I'm about to do to his children. It's not right. Of course, I have to tell him. So that's the way Rashi understands the story. But you have to continue reading, because Hashem then gives further details as to, you know, why it is that he's sharing this message with Avram. And to me, the question is not only what is God's intention, but, you know, how does Avram respond, and how does God want Avram to respond? You know, is this just a you know, a one-way conversation? You know, Avram, here's what I'm about to do, and sort of like telling Noah, yeah, here's what I'm about to do, and now, you know, go build an ark. Or does God want Avram to say something, to respond, to do something about it? So the way it continues is the following: Avram hayo yiyeh legoy gadol avatzum. Right, Avram is going to be this great and mighty nation. And in him shall be blessed all the nations of the earth. Now, again, it sounds like from Rashi, this is like sort of like part of the reason, or this is the reason. It's like a question mark. Like, he's going to be this this great nation, and in him all nations are going to be blessed. Like, and again, how can I destroy this? He'll be the father of these nations, everyone. And now I'm going to destroy them. And then, but then it continues. God says, for I have known him. I have known Avram. I know Avram quite well. And I know that he will command his sons and his children after him, his household after him, to shomru derech Hashem. They will guard the ways of God. Laso tzedaka u'mishpat. That they will engage in righteousness and justice. Right? I know that Avram is going to instruct his children to engage in Derech Hashem. What is Derech Hashem? What is the ways of God? To do righteous and justice. L'man havi Hashem Avram asher diber. That I may bring upon Avram that which I spoke. And so here as well, Rashi tells us the following. Get the exact words. Ki dati, for I have known lashon chiba. This is an expression of love. L'man asher yitzave l'fishu mitzavo banav alai lishmor drachai. Right, he will command his sons regarding me to keep my ways. And the Ramban interestingly says the following: what's this notion of justice and righteousness? So first, Ramban cites Rashi, and then he tells us that let me find the exact words here. Here we go. The yitachin shiyah yidativ gidaltiv romantiv. It could be the yidativ means I have elevated him to greatness. It is so that he will command his children after him to do what is upright before me. And for this reason, I shall establish him as a great and mighty nation that he will serve me. In other words, I think what the Ramban is suggesting is that Avram is ultimately going to teach his children about justice and righteousness. And the question is what God is about to do on the surface is going to look horrific, right? To destroy five cities, to kill, you know, who knows how many people who live in that area. Is that tzedakah? Is that mishpat? And therefore, I need to tell Avram what is going on, right? I need to, I need for Avram to understand and to recognize what it is that I'm doing. And therefore, then there's two possibilities. One possibility is maybe what I'm doing is not really so righteous. And maybe Avram can point that out. And therefore, famously, right, Avram then proceeds to pray to Hashem and ask Hashem, wait, before you do this, you know, is this really correct? You know, how many, you know, are there any righteous people in the city? Right, maybe there's some tzaddikim in the cities, and the cities can be spared. And therefore, he's going to like Moshe, who will do so later on in the Torah. He'll sometimes challenge God's decisions. Right? Sometimes we'll wonder: is it so fair? Is it right to destroy the entire Jewish people? And so, Avram, on the one hand, is afforded that that opportunity, and on the other hand, if Hashem can demonstrate that unfortunately there are not righteous people in the city, that it's mishpat, then it's justice, and then Avram will recognize that Hashem has every right to destroy these cities. And that's part of tzedakah and mishpat. Tzedakah and mishpat, you know, that this is a tension that we always face between a righteousness and justice. You know, on the surface, they contradict one another, right? Either you're going to engage in righteousness, which means maybe you're going to compromise, maybe you're not going to follow exactly the letter of the law. Then you're not following the letter of the law. And if you're following the letter of the law, then you're not engaging in righteousness. And so, a Beit Din, for example, a Jewish court always struggles with this. And when do you render a decision that's strict justice, and when do you engage in pshara and compromise? The Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin goes to great detail in Davav, Dav Zayin, discussing this issue about justice, you know, versus righteousness. And so, and both are values, right? Both are integral. Both are important. And sometimes you might employ one over the other. And you have to understand, you know, when to use one and not the other. And therefore Hashem, you know, Hashem was, I was going to have this whole great nation that's going to emerge from him. But now I'm going to see something that on the surface is going to look very unjust, not fair, horrific, terrible, destructive. And therefore Hashem says, if I want Avram to be this leader and to be the progenitor of this great people and to teach them what justice and righteousness is, but here's an opportunity to afford Avram to learn about the justice and righteousness, right? Let him engage with me in a conversation and in a dialogue, and we'll figure things out. You know, should we have a little bit of tzedakah here? Of righteousness? Should we have some mercy or no? Sometimes there's no room for mercy, and strict justice has to ensue. So that's one way that the Ramban understands, you know, this conversation, this dialogue. I want, however, just to give my own thoughts on the matter, and this is a little harsh, and I could be completely not correct and unfair in saying this. But I think it's something important just to consider. You know, so on the one hand, we know from last week's parsha, this is not the first time that Avram has had some interactions with Sodom. Right? He was very involved in, as we spoke about last week, in a major war, in a battle that took place between the four kings and the five kings. And the five kings were these five cities of Sodom and Amor and these other three cities. And Avram had basically saved them, right? Avram, you know, they were these kings were defeated by the four larger kings. They were now once again subservient to these four kings far away from ancient Mesopotamia. They had come in and suppressed these five kings, Sodom and Amorah, and Avram defeated the four kings. And because Avram defeated the four kings, again, he went to rescue Lot. I suggested last week maybe these four kings really were after Avram. That's why they captured Lot. But be as it may, at the end of the day, Avram defeats these four kings. He chases them away, right? He chases them out of the land of Israel. He goes all the way up to Dan and then to Damascus. He sends them back to Mesopotamia, right? And Avram rescues Sodom. And the king of Sodom is appreciative, right? The king of Sodom comes out to Avram and wants to reward Avram for the efforts. He asks for the money, the riches back, but he offers Avram some proceeds. And Avram says, no, I'm not going to take anything. I want him to say that you made me wealthy. Just give some money to the people who helped me out. Honor Eshkol Mamre. Avram has had interactions with these people. Right, it's not like there are some faraway, distant land, and he has nothing to do with them. He has engaged them. Right, he's had conversations with them. They live close by. He's in Hebron. They're in Sodom. That's pretty close. That's pretty close by. And so here's the question: maybe Avram, on some level, maybe that's what Hashem was saying. Should I withhold and hide for Avram what I'm about to do? Is Hashem on some level rebuking Avram here, perhaps? That what has Avram been doing in the land of Canaan for all these years? Now, he's been there quite a long time by the time this occurs. Right? Avram arrives in Canaan, he's charged to go. We learned in the last expression when he's 75. And now, right, he's just been told that he's about to have a child. You know, at 100 years old, he has a child, he has Yitzchak. So it's been about 25 years since he's been in the land of Canaan, right? He had to take a little detour for a short while to try him to Egypt while the famine occurred, but he's been back in the land of Canaan for 25 years. Why does God send him to the land of Canaan? And we never, like, actually hear in the Torah, so God says, you'll go to the land that I will show you. So some have suggested, again, I don't know if this is correct or not, but some have suggested that maybe the reason why God specifically chose the land of Israel as the holy land is because at that time, the land of Israel was, I think I've heard Menachem Liebtag say this, that the land of Israel was right in the middle of the two great civilizations of the time. Right, it was right in the middle, and to the east was Mesopotamia, and to the west, the south was Egypt, and it was the crossroads. Right, we know from the story that we'll see later in Bereishis, the story of the Mechiras Yosef, the sale of Yosef, right, that the merchants, right, they're traveling and they're coming, they're going to be going down to Egypt because they're crossing through Israel to get to sell their wares down in Egypt. People are constantly passing through the land of Israel. And therefore, for God's sake, right, for Hashem's, if he wants his name to be made known, right, to be this and obviously this Av Hamon Goyim, so if he wants Avram to teach about monotheism and the notion of one God and all that stands for represents, here's a perfect place to engage in that preaching, and that teaching and spreading the good word and be able to interact with all of mankind at the time. It's the perfect location. And all the kids know Avram famously sets up his tent. He's in the Parsha. It's open on four sides. He's able to interact with people in all the directions. So here's the question. Was he successful? Right? Was he effective? And so you would think, the possibility for him to be most effective would be for those most closest to him, right? Those are the people who'd have interactions with on a constant basis. The people traveling from Egypt, traveling from ancient Mesopotamia, he have to catch them. But those that are right in his orbit, close by, he would be able to hopefully influence them in a positive way. And yet. One could argue that maybe he failed in that regard. In other words, one of the things that we always talk about when it comes to in Parshas Noach, right, it says Noach is tzaddik. Noach was righteous, and everyone knows Rashi brings the famous machlokas. It's found already in the Gemara that Noach, right, he wasn't as righteous as Avram was. Right, he was righteous, but Dorosov in his generation. But if you compare him to Avram, they don't hold what. You know, it doesn't hold water. Because what's the difference between Noah and Avram? Right? So again, so as I began before, God tells Noah also what he's about to do. And does Noah save anyone? Is Noah successful? He's a failure. Not one person does he save, right? Not one person. But Avram, but what about Avram? Right? Who does he save? Who does he influence? So we know at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avram enters the land of Israel, Vaikach Avram Esarah Yishto Veslo Ben Achiv Veskoch Husham Asher Achashu, he takes his wife Sarai, he takes his nephew Lot, and all possessions, Vesan Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, and the nefesh that he made in Haran, and Rashi famously tells us, what is this nefesh? Avram Megaris Anashim, and Sarah Megaris Anashim. That Avram converted the men and Sarah converted the women. All these people, they influenced on the way to Israel, and they stopped off in Haran, which we think is like modern day, like southern Turkey or something. All these people came along with them, and so you see how impactful Avram was. Right, all these people came along with him. But many have pointed out, well, what happened to those people? Right, what happened to those individuals? Seems like if they were there originally, they slipped away, because by the time we get to next week's Parsha, the end and the death of Avram, who's left? See, there's one person left, and that's Yitzchak. Right, Yitzchak has left. And even the person closest to Avram, who was Lot, so not only did he slip away, he wound up slipping away to stone. But he himself, wound up in stone. And so here's again, I'm just raising this as a question or as a possibility, but maybe to read it the following: Hashem Amar Mechasani Me'Avram Asher Ani Oseh. So I withhold from Avram what I'm about to do. Why? For Avram, Avram's supposed to be this great nation, right? He's supposed to be this great, incredible nation. And all people are going to be blessed to him. But he's not there yet, right? That hasn't happened. Point being, look what I'm about to do to his neighbors. Kidativ, but God says, but I know. Or I know him, but I know God said, God's not giving Avram a patch here. God's not blaming Avram at all. He knows that Avram is committed to the cause. And he knows what he's going to teach his children. And initially it's only going to be through Yitzchak. But it's going to get passed along to Yaakov, and then to Yaakov's 12 sons. And then ultimately a nation is going to emerge. They're going to guard the way. They're going to keep the guard the way of Hashem. They're going to engage in justice and righteousness, which is not taking place in stone. And so here's what I want to suggest. What I suggest is that on the one hand, this is like a rebuke to Avram that you've not been successful. But it also, it's a comfort to Avram. I'm going to show you, Avram, why I'm going to destroy Sodom. That, sometimes there's nothing you can do. Right? You can be the best parent, the best teacher, but to some people you can't reach. Or by the time you get there, it's too late. Right? Maybe if Avram showed up 500 years earlier, 100 years earlier, maybe things could have been different. But here it's just not a possibility. And I'm going to show you, Avram, why it's not possible. Because you're going to engage, Avram, you're going to all of a sudden, you're going to start questioning, hey, is this the right thing to do, Hashem? Aren't there any righteous people in the city? No, there's no one there. But this is going to be a lesson to you, Avram, about the notions of Staka and Mishpat. Ultimately, What God spoke to Avram about, that he's going to be this great nation, he's going to influence and change the world, that is going to happen. But it doesn't happen overnight. Another obvious proof is the Jewish people themselves, right? After we're taken out of Egypt, it's not like we become this most devoted, people, right? It's that constant back and forth in the desert and complaining and failures. Takes quite a time, and you can argue we're still struggling. still trying to figure things out even until this day. But here it's Hashem having to demonstrate to the Avram there's still a lot of work to do, and that and again I'm sort of like going back and forth on this. Is this Hashem's saying Avram, you know, you're okay, no problem, this was not feasible, or is it sort of saying Avram, maybe there was something you could have done? Right, you did have some interactions with you knew who these people were. Right, you would save them, and you know, are there any righteous people in the city? All right, that's what Avram keeps on asking Hashem, and no, there's not. Well, what would have happened had Avram moved into the city? Right, he would have been the righteous person. You know, could he have then been the savior? So I don't know. It's an open question, right? And you know, maybe Avram thought through Lot would be the one to help him out. It's an interesting study you do on your own on this week's parsha to look how Lot welcomes the guests who come to visit him, as opposed to how Avram welcomes his guests. There's some similarities, but there's also some significant differences as well. So maybe Avram thought that Lot could have done it, but maybe Avram himself should have been there. And should have been more influential. And I think that this is I'll leave you with this. I think it's a question that we all have to struggle with in terms of you know, we can lock ourselves in, close the door, and we can you know, ourselves become extremely devoted to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can you know, protect ourselves and protect our children from outflying negative influences. But do we also have a responsibility to try to go out and to try to be a positive influence on others? One of the things I've always struggled with is the whole notion of the Jewish people being in the land of Israel. The whole promise to Avram, you're going to be this great nation, but a great nation living in the land of Israel. But living in the land of Israel with whom? With no one else, right? The charge to the Jewish people was to get rid of the seven nations who are living there. That they're going to be a terrible influence on you. If you keep them there, you're going to learn their ways, and you're going to be negatively influenced by them. So, okay, so you have to get rid of them. But if you're going to get rid of them, who are you going to influence? Right? Who are you going to influence? And so the answer is, and I think you learned this from Sefer Melachim, the story of Shlomo HaMelech, that they'll come to you. If they hear about the great society that you've created, they'll come and they'll learn from you. That's the whole story of the Queen of Sheba, right? That comes to learn and to discover and to see what Shlomo has created. But I think this is a tension that the Jews have in terms of our responsibilities. And how is it that we will become a great nation? How is it that we'll spread the word of God? And are we expected to really change people, to change the societies around us that have gone astray? Is that our mission? Is that our responsibility? Or are we supposed to look inward and focus mostly on ourselves? And I think Jews to this day still struggle with that question. And there's not a one-size-fits-all answers, and it's not a simple answer. Because, you know, by going out and trying to be influential, so sometimes you are negatively influenced by those around you. So is Avram being criticized in Sixth Parsha? I think you read it both two ways. I can think on one hand, it can be a little bit of a question. Hey, Avram, you know, where have you been? Why haven't you helped these people? Or no, Avram, there's no way you could have helped these people, but you're going to learn eventually how to help people. Right? Eventually, you're going to teach justice and righteousness, and you're going to prevent you know, societies like this from ultimately emerging and living you know, the path that the destructive path that Sodom and Gomorrah decided to engage in. And so this was a powerful lesson to Avram, very you know, in his career, about what it is to be an Av Hamon, to be a father of nations, of how to guide, to influence others. And sometimes you can have an impact, and sometimes you got to sort of lock yourself in, and maybe it's just teaching your son, just teaching your child, and it's through Yitzchak. Maybe this time is not correct, but the next generation, the future generation, that's when things can be different. Okay, I don't know the correct answer here. I'm just sort of raising the question, but I think it's something important for us to think about and to struggle with. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.